guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Morena, Justine, how are you? Oh, hello, Justine. I think we have just lost Justine. We will play a track and we will get her back. This is Chai with Wow, Look at Me.
No masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Kia ora, Justine.
Morena, Rachel.
Hey, good. Sorry, we had a tech issue there and we love to hear your voice.
yep, I'm back.
and we have got some union questions to put to you as well, so we're going to dive straight in as we always do. Now, last week we had someone text in asking if there is a union or some sort of union organisation for self-employed artists or people in that kind of sector.
Yeah, and I wasn't really sure, so I wanted to go look into it because I know that there had been. I know there'd in the past been a musicians union and a fine arts union, and there is a creative union for performers mostly, and that's Actors Equity. So
right.
If you are a performer, Actors Equity is your union, and they're a great union. But so I'm not sure what field of art this person is in. So the answer is there is a union for performers, but for other sort of creative artists, there doesn't seem to be a particular, like a specific artists union.
Right.
There used to be, and there's been quite a few. And so if there's interest, I feel like people should definitely get together.
Oh.
Recently, we've had tech work.
Oh, hello.
Oh.
We just lost you there for a second. Technology's
okay.
Not on our side this morning.
No. Yeah, I was just saying, you know, like we've had Aotearoa Tech Union pop up recently,
right,
to represent people in the IT industry. So if you are interested, there has, yeah, as I said, that project, there has been projects like that in the past, but they seem to have petered out. And there doesn't seem to be a specific creative artists union at the moment. There is Actors Equity for performers. So, yeah, if there's interest, you guys should totally go for it.
How do you start a union?
Well, you'd be formally registered as a union, so there's a legal process, and I think you have to have a number of members.
Right.
But it's actually not as hard. It's not very difficult, and if you have enough people, you want to get people who are interested in building a union.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about a lot of artists being self-employed or contractors, et cetera,
yeah.
et cetera. I think, like, one thing a union can do is just be, like, an advocate for an industry. I don't have the specifics on how to actually start a union, but you do have to register to formally be a union. It's not that difficult, and mm-hmm. if people are interested in it,
go for it.
Yeah, I can give you more details next week as well.
Hard out. No, that's really interesting, and as you say, a useful thing to have for advocacy for a kind of collective group, which is definitely something that I'm sure people in creative fields will be feeling a little bit of a need for at the moment, given everything that is going on in the wide world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of Christmas time, because that is just around the corner, people are starting to think about holidays. We've had a text in here. We've had a couple of texts about leave, but this person said, can my employer decline my request for time off over Christmas and New Year's?
So the answer is yes, but they need to give you a business decision. It needs to be a real, business decision that's the basis of that. So typically we'd want leave to be by agreement. So
right.
there should be agreement from both sides. And if an employer does decline, they need to have a genuine reason. They can't just decline it because they want to and they, feel they're feeling petty or whatever. I think this particularly kind of sucks. Like, I think workers deserve more guarantee when mm-hmm. they apply for leave that they'll get it. But that is, unfortunately, employment law at the moment, yeah.
We've got someone asking, what's the deal with public holidays? There's heaps coming up. I don't know if I have to work them or if I get paid or even if I don't work them. And this person is a casual hospo worker.
So you're a casual, so you don't have to do anything. you can decline a shift if you that's your choice as casual. If you have really set hours, you wouldn't really be a proper casual. In terms of whether you have to work public holidays or not, as a casual, as I said, you have that choice.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do work public holidays, you need to be paid time and a half and get time in lieu.
And does
so
that count?
Really the most important
does that
thing.
Count for casual workers as well?
Yes.
Right. So everybody's under one roof there.
Sorry.
I was going to say, we've had a few kind of questions like this coming in, I guess, as people start to think about what they're doing in that December, January time. If you are a casual worker, it is kind of, as you're saying, you don't have to work those days, but does that kind mm-hmm. of cut both ways? Does that mean that you don't get paid if you don't work those days, even if perhaps, as you were sort of saying, there's that regular thing? If you have similar, sort of the same hours every week, but you are a casual contractor, and one of those days was meant to be a public holiday, would you expect to be paid on that day or not?
That's a really good question. So the answer is, if you're not a real casual, and there's no such thing, there's no definition of casual in the law,
right?
Then yes, you would, theoretically, you actually should be paid, but that's not the norm, and that's not what happens.
Okay.
Sorry to be a little bit complicated, but a lot of the way that we use casuals in the workforce is actually not compliant with the law around casuals' entitlement. And even, I don't know if people probably don't know this, but the government, like, unions have taken it up with the government because they've actually been non-compliant with the Holidays Act.
Oh, wow.
And it turns out a bunch of casuals in the DHBs and all over the place are actually owed a whole lot of money because they haven't been being paid properly, their holiday entitlements. So the answer is that the use of casuals in the workforce is actually not really compliant with the law, and there's no such thing as a casual under the law. If you work consistently, you're actually entitled to annual leave and you're entitled to sick leave and all sorts of things. And so it's only really if you work so intermittently mm-hmm. that it would not be practical for them to pay you annual leave. But very few casuals actually meet that, because a lot of casuals have a stable work. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you're a human being. You kind of need to have kind of some stability. So maybe one week you'll work 10 hours, next week you'll work 14 or something, but you're not going to work like, 1 week you'll work 40 hours and then you won't work for 5 weeks and then you'll, you know, like most people have kind of stable work patterns. So the way casuals are used in New Zealand doesn't really seem to match up with what the law says, and a lot of casuals actually should be getting annual leave and things like that, and they don't.
That is,
to answer your question.
Really interesting. That is really interesting. Our last question we've got is from somebody who's asked, my boss is pretty lax. Other people at my work are slacking off. It's making my job a lot harder. Is there a way I can do something about this without being a narc?
That's a good question. I think, like, firstly, I just want to, like, validate this person and say that I think that if someone's slacking off and making you work harder, that's really, really not on and not in the sentiment of, like, collective, you know, collectivism and having each other's back. So just so you know, even if you really did decide to go to your manager, I don't think anyone would really hold it against you, because I think that's really lame. But this is one of those things where I always kind of default to talk to the people first and have that face-to-face conversation, because, you know, a lot of the time you can solve these issues by dealing with it at that kind of, like, you know, level just between coworkers. And, you know, as a delegate, when I was a delegate, I often encourage, if there's any delegates on the line, like, encourage people to talk to you about things like that as well, because sometimes you can be a mediator, and that can be cool, because you want to avoid... and then, you know, so I take that talking to your boss as a last resort. But at the same time, if all of that fails, if you do all that and still it's not resolving itself, then no one's going to blame you or think you're a narc if you, you know, don't want to do double the work because other people are not working.
Fair enough. Hey, Justine, thank you very much once again. Very sage answers to these questions. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good.
See you then. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs.
Thank you very much.